think as a people, as a man, as a country, we have entered a danger zone. How many of you have wrestled with anger in some way or another over the last couple of weeks? Yeah, just about every one of us in some way. I remember initially when I saw the video of George Floyd dying with the cop and the abuse that was there, I was angry. And then the protest came, and I saw in the protest, I remember when I saw the video of the former police chief from St. Louis, David Dorn, 77 years old, and he gets killed by one of the rioters or looters, and that made me angry. And so back and forth, I'm angry at injustice. I'm angry at violence. I'm angry at things that people are saying, and I'm on Facebook, and one friend would say one thing, and I thought they said that pretty well. And then someone else would come in, another friend who would come in and verbally critique and criticize because they didn't say it the right way or they didn't say it strong enough. And so I saw anger going from person to person. And I realized that we're just angry. We're just angry right now. And some of it is understandable because when there is injustice, when there is wrongdoing, our natural response is to declare that's wrong and to be angry about it. I've told a couple stories before. I'm going to just mention one of them because I remember when I was in my first year of seminary, there was an older, wiser preacher, pastor, Jack Taylor, and he led a retreat. And there were only about 15 to 20 of us seminary students that went on this retreat. And Jack Taylor got up to speak, and you got to admit, when you hear people speak, it's rare that you remember what they say. I bet that most of you, you've heard me, and you maybe don't remember anything that I've said. It doesn't mean I haven't had influence, but you don't remember the exact words. But when Jack Taylor stood up, he stood before us, and these were his words. He said, "Angry people make me angry." And then he went further. Selfish people make me selfish. Bitter people make me bitter. But I realized the more he talked about it, the more it's true that there seems to be a spirit that when someone is angry and they meet you with their anger, what is your initial reaction to their anger? Your anger rises up. Angry people make me angry. And so one of the things that's happening right now in our country is anger is spreading. On Facebook the other day, a guy that I know, he was arguing why, you know, anger's good and anger is righteous, and it can be. But this, what I want to talk about today, I want us to talk about what is Jesus' perspective on anger, and I want to talk about the danger. This was not in your regular notes or handouts, but I wanted to jump to something right now. If you've got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4. You can just leave that up there for right now, Nathan. I'm going to get to that in a second. In Genesis chapter 4, there's the familiar story of Cain and Abel. And we know that they each brought a sacrifice. They brought a different sacrifice, and one was affirmed by the Lord, the other was not. I don't want to talk about the sacrifice. I want to talk about the reaction. So in Genesis chapter 4, I'll read 3 and 4 all the way down through verse 7. It says, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard." Okay? Just stop there. I don't know the background. I don't know what God had told them about their offerings, but God has a right to say what is acceptable and what's not. So God declares that one of these offerings was acceptable and one wasn't. And I've heard people go into big theological discourses over that. I don't want to get into that. What I want to get into is the reaction. At the end of that verse, in verse 5, it says, "But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was what? Very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? The problem here has moved from his offering, whether it was accepted or not. The issue now is the anger. Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Now get this. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. The picture here is that sin is alive, and sin is a power, and sin desires to consume us, to control us, and to master us. For Cain, the issue was his anger. And he was in the danger zone. He was angry because his offering wasn't accepted. He's angry at God, and God's giving him a warning. Why are you angry? Sin is at the door, and sin is like an animal ready to pounce. You must master it. Guys, I want to tell you, we have an anger problem in our country. And it's not just in our country. It's in our churches, it's in our homes, and it's in our hearts. There is a major anger problem. Did you know that in 2019, last year, there were 19,510 murders in the United States? 19,510 murders in the United States. Happy people don't murder happy people. The root of murder starts with anger. We've got a problem. We've got an anger problem. Now, I'm going to take a step back, and then we'll jump back into anger. For those of you who've not been with us, what we have been doing is walking through the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the greatest message ever preached. It was preached by the Master, Jesus. And what it is his greatest message, which details, if you are to be my follower, if you are to be a part of this new kingdom that I am establishing, this is what I'm calling you to. This is how I'm calling you to live. And so he begins with establishing the character and the process of discipleship as he went through the Beatitudes. Then, in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, he talks about our purpose and function. You are the salt of the earth. My followers, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. This is what you are to be. This is what you're to do. And then last week, we looked at this passage where Jesus said something that was almost incomprehensible to the people of the day. Because the holy men of the day, the rule keepers, the righteous ones of the day, were the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus looked at them and said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. We talked about that last week. You can go back and watch that if you want. And then what Jesus does, and we're starting this week, he begins to go through the teachings of the scribes and Pharisees, how they had taught the law, and what he begins to do is unpack how their standard was down here, and what God is calling us to is something much greater. And we ended the message last week with saying that God has called us, his church, to a higher standard. He has called us to live in such a way that men and women would say they are beyond reproach. We should be the hardest workers. We should be the most truthful of people. We should be the people of the greatest integrity. That is what God has called us to be and to do. And now, Jesus moves into this issue of the law, thou shalt not kill, but he takes it much deeper. And he starts talking about anger. So if you would, read with me Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 26. We've got it up here. Join me. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, thou shalt not kill. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, and when Jesus is the one that says, but I say to you, you sit up and listen. Because when he listens, this is significant. This really matters. But I say to you that everyone, say the word everyone, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fire of hell. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Murder, anger, insults, contempt. Jesus is saying these are all really, really serious things. So then he gives a step, an action step. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, I want you to notice the first thing he talked about is you and your attitude. Murder, anger, contempt. Now he says, you come to the altar and your brother has something against you. It's not just your issue, it's their issue. Your brother has something against you, he says. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with them to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, again, I want to take a step back. I want to give you an overarching principle that we will be looking into over the next few weeks. Actually, we're going to skip next week because next week is Father's Day, and I've got a different message for fathers on that. But then after that, we'll get right back to this. Here's the key principle. The spirit of the law is what matters, not the letter only. What we've got to do is find the heart of what God's saying and not be so precise, because what happened to the Pharisees, they would take the letter of the law and they would limit the meaning of it to that. So for instance, a Pharisee would say, and this actually happened to Jesus. Jesus talking to a rich young ruler, and the young ruler says, you know, what do I have to do, master, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, tell me about the commandments. And what he says is, I have kept all those from my youth up. I've kept all the commandments. I have never broken the law. Well, the way that he could say he never broke the law is he took it literally. Have you ever committed murder? Nope, never killed anybody. You ever committed adultery? Nope, never killed anybody. Have you ever? And so what you can do is you can limit the law to the literal meaning of the words and say, I'm okay. I'm good. Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, he says, as to the law, blameless. But Jesus is telling us that the meaning of the commandments and the meaning of the law goes far beyond the literal tense. And you've got to get to the heart of it, the spirit of it. All right, so what is he saying? Truth number one, these are in your notes, you can follow along. Number one, despising another person imperils your soul. Not just killing them. Despising another person, being angry with them, mocking them, insulting them, having contempt for them, it imperils and it poisons your soul. Listen to his words. You've heard it was said of those old, you shall not murder, dot, dot, dot. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Every one of these, Jesus is saying, there is judgment for these things, and it damages, wounds, and imperils your very soul. This is serious stuff. Back a few weeks ago, I talked about the call to forgiveness. And every time I talk about forgiveness, there are people in the room that respond well. There are people in the room that don't respond well. Because what we feel many times when someone tells us to forgive, and what comes to our mind is that person. You know what I mean? That person. That person that did us wrong. That person that said this. That person that cost us the job. That person. And that person comes into our mind and we go, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to hold on to this grudge. And what we don't realize is it has nothing to do with your right. What Jesus is saying is when you hold on to anger, when you voice contempt, it damages your very soul. It imperils your very soul. I remember when I was a younger man and I was working in the street ministry, we would go out and we would just witness to strangers. And I still remember that sense of denial when I went up to a man who was sitting in the park, the water gardens in Fort Worth, and I just started talking to him about God, about his, and he goes, I said, so are you a Christian? He goes, oh yeah, I've never killed anybody. Boom. That's a pretty easy standard. Never killed anybody, I'm a Christian. What Jesus is saying is, check your heart. Look at the anger, look at the insults, look at the contempt. Three things. Anger of our heart, the calling someone a fool, insulting them, the words of contempt. We don't recognize how significant this is and how much it damages our very soul. How much it violates and hinders our relationship with God. And so we go, well, I've never done this. And the reality is our soul has been poisoned. Let me give you two verses that may be familiar to you, that may be not. In Ephesians 4, 26, 27, he says, be angry, but do not sin. Be angry and sin not. So, okay, I want you to understand the issue is not just anger, because anger is an emotion. And there are things that are going to happen that will stir anger. It's what you do with it. It's when you hold on to it and when you personalize it. We should be angry at injustice. We should be angry at wrongdoing. But then what happens is we personalize it, and suddenly it's about the person and not just the action. And suddenly we have a grudge against the person, and suddenly the very thought of that person just stirs in our mind, and we think about it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it starts to consume us. Be angry, but do not sin. And then he says, do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Two things. Deal with it quickly. Don't let the sun go down on it. And don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. The point is, anger, bitterness, contempt damages our soul. And the enemy comes in and he poisons us. And he can destroy our lives. Second passage, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. I didn't put this up here. I'll read it to you. Strive for peace with everyone. You hear those action words? Strive for peace with everyone. I'm sorry, who? Everyone. So I am to work toward peace with everyone. That person that I'm angry at, I got to figure out, How do we reconcile? That person that did me wrong, I've got to figure out, how do I reestablish peace? Strive. That's talking about make an effort. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Again, this deals with our soul, our relationship with God. Now listen to verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. Everybody say those three words, root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. The idea is, have you ever tried to kill a weed and you cut it off at the top and it just keeps growing back? The idea is you've got to get it out by the roots. Anger, contempt, hatred, it's like a cancer that if you don't kill every cell, it can destroy you. That no root of bitterness spring up, it causes trouble, and then the next phrase, and by it, many become defiled. It doesn't just affect you, it begins to affect those around you. It's a pandemic. It spreads. Have you ever met somebody that was just really bitter? And you could just feel the bitterness, and other people either embraced their bitterness or became angry at the bitter person. And that person could just walk in the room, and after a short series of time, other people were angry too. Other relationships were poisoned. So there is a danger with anger. It can destroy us. Truth number two. When your brother is angry with you, his soul is imperiled. See, this goes beyond me. The very first thing Jesus talked about is our anger, our insults, our contempt. And he just tells us it's very, very dangerous. And now he says in let me read 23, 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember, hear this phrase, that your brother has something against you. He's no longer dealing with what's in your heart. Now he's talking about somebody else has anger toward you. Leave your gift for the altar and go. Your concern should not simply be for your soul. You should be concerned for the soul of your brother, your friend, your adversary. Because not only is your soul being poisoned, their soul is being poisoned as well. And we've got to get it out of our heads that I need my pound of flesh and I need to win. What we need to do is say, what does God want in this? And what God is telling us, we've got to figure out how to go and to bring about peace and restoration of relationship. It's a two-way street. Too many people right now, when they get angry, they only see what they want out of their anger. And they do not see the God perspective, that God is wanting to bring healing and restoration. And God is wanting us to rise above the anger, because remember the story of Cain. Anger is there at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must master it. If you do not master your anger, the sin will compound, and it will destroy your life and the lives of the people around you. My greatest concern right now in our nation is not simply the injustice, but what good people are allowing to invade their soul as they are seeing wrong and they are angered correctly at injustice, but then they allow the anger to dominate and control their lives, and brother and sister, brother and brother in Christ are being divided. I see it every day on Facebook. I see angry people voicing their contempt for people who do not see the way that they see things. Let me jump to something. This is not in my notes, but it's in my meditation this week. I just want to read to you about the wisdom of God. This is James chapter 3. You can get the reference later. It says, the wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. When you are operating in the wisdom of God, there is a purity in it. There is a peaceableness. Remember in the Beatitudes, blessed are who? The peacemakers. God has called us to find a way to bring peace into dangerous situations and to allow His Spirit to reign. We must become what He's called us to be. All right, we'll look at that another day. Okay, truth number three. We should prioritize relationships over religious duty. Remember what he said? When you come to the altar and you come to bring your gift, and there you remember that this person has something against you, he says, leave your gift. Go and get reconciled first. We have a tendency to not want to deal with the issue of the heart, and we want to be spiritual. So I'll go to church, I'll read my Bible, I'll pray about it, I'll give my gift. And it's almost like we're thinking, well, if I do all the good stuff, that God's going to tally that up. And He'll go, it's all right if you hate your brother. It's okay. Just keep doing that. That's not the way it works. God is not interested in our spirituality when our hearts are hardened and embittered toward others. He is calling us to a higher level, to a higher standard. Fourth, let me go back to that. Let me just say something. I think one of the greatest tragedies of our day is that we have men and women in our churches that have been angry at other people for years, and they have never dealt with it. They are walking around with anger at someone that hurt them 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 2 weeks ago, and they're holding on to it, never hearing the words of Jesus. That's a tragedy. Because you hold on to it, and it grows, and it festers, and it becomes something that you begin to poison the relationships around you. God has called us to a higher standard. Fourth, not only do we need to reconcile, but we should strive to reconcile quickly. Jesus said, immediately, leave your gift. Now, I'd like to say that as a pastor and someone who's known the Lord for all these years, that I never get angry anymore. But it's not true. And I've stumbled, I've fallen. And one of the things that God has taught me is that I have to keep quick accounts. And so I want to tell you a story that happened just a few years ago. I don't know. I'm always telling stories on my kids. I don't think Jonathan's here. This had nothing to do with him. He was just there. But Jonathan was playing high school basketball. He was a sophomore. We were playing at Lighthouse, playing against another team here in town. And Lighthouse shot the ball. Jonathan went in for the rebound. A kid on the other team grabbed the rebound. And as he grabbed it and turned, and Jonathan was right there. And he stepped in with elbow, stepped in, and just nailed Jonathan in the mouth. And Jonathan, it was like he'd been shot. And just, boom, it went down. And everybody in the stand saw it. Everyone in the gym saw it except the two referees. But that's another story. And Jonathan goes down, and everybody goes, oh. And then there's no call. But everybody stops because there's a kid on the floor, and he's looks like he's out cold. And everybody kind of sits down, everybody but me. Because I'm dad. Now, I've coached a lot of sports, and for some reason, when I'm a coach, I never get angry because I know you got to be calm. You got to. But when I'm a dad, and it's like I'm sitting there, and Jennifer sitting next to me. I think Tim Castle, you may have been there. Your son was definitely coaching. Tim was over keeping score. And everybody goes to sit down, and I, in my dad voice, booming voice, where's the call? That's a flagrant foul. He should be ejected. And everybody is just kind of. We know he's hurt, but the pastor is really losing it right here. And I'm literally standing there with my hands out, and I'm like, and everybody is looking at me and looking away. You know? And they get Jonathan off, and he goes to the locker room, and the game goes on. Now, there's a whole dynamic that's taking place here because I've been angry. But in my heart, I know I violated thee and sin not. I've crossed over. I have shown contempt for a man. Now, here's where it really gets complicated. The man was a man that I had hired to be a referee in a league that I was the keeper of. It was his first job refereeing, and I had mentored him as a referee. I knew the referee that was out there, and he and I were friends. And now I have belittled him and mocked him publicly in front of everybody there. That's not good, by the way. And the Lord just hit me. Yes, I care about my son, but I care about this man. Because you know what? Referees are real people. People make mistakes. People miss things. And we always want to assign a motive. But things, you know, things happen. Well, that night, as soon as the game was over, I'm texting. His name was Sean. I'm texting him saying, Sean, I am so sorry. I should never have said that. I lost my cool, like that. And the cool thing is, so I'm initiating, and I'm initiating quickly. And the cool thing is, he texted me back and said, yeah, we blew that call. We missed it. I'm sorry about that. I go, yeah, but still no excuse. So we're humbling ourselves before the other. Relationship is restored. What Jesus is saying is, when you blow it, deal with it and deal with it quickly. I still haven't learned the be angry but don't sin, but I have learned the don't let the devil have an opportunity in your soul. When you get angry, you've got to work, step in, and deal with it quickly. All right. Everybody forgive me for blowing it? All right. We'll pray for me, Al? I'll pray about it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. I want to give you real quick, I'm going to go fast here, 4 action steps. Because I love, Pastor Mike, you started it off with, we're not to be hearers of the word, but what? Doers. So this is not, what we've been looking at, this is not a nice teaching that you just go home and take notes and go, okay, good, I got that. This is a call to action. It is a call to do something. So I got 4 action steps. Number 1, first step, admit your anger. When you're angry, call it. Call it what it is, own it. The fact is, you are going to get angry at some point in life. You're going to suffer hurts. You're going to experience injustice. Things are going to happen. Someone you love is going to let you down, and you're going to feel angry. Anger starts as a God-given emotion. God is the one that created us with the capacity to be angry because anger is a call to action. But there's a danger with it. Because then we take our anger and we let it become selfish and self-righteous and we start condemning and we start criticizing and we start wounding others with our anger. So the first thing to do is own your anger. Now, there are different levels of anger. And what we do is we like to call it other things because it doesn't seem so bad. I'm just a little annoyed. You ever get annoyed? I don't get angry. I just get annoyed. I'm just a little irritated. I'm a little frustrated. And so what we do is, We change the words and we feel better about it. But the truth is, if you are feeling contempt for someone, if you're talking about them to someone else and go, you know, Todd, I can't believe it, man. That guy's an idiot. Oops. There I've moved. So own your anger. Admit it. Number 2, initiate restoration of the relationship. Yes, come to the altar, pray about it, but you have to initiate restoration of the relationship. You've got to deal with it. You've got to initiate. It's not enough to take it to God. It's not enough to go to someone and say, well, you know, pray with me about it. At some point, you've got to move. You've got to take action. You have got to begin to restore the relationship. And third step is the same step as number 2. I just added an adverb. Third step, put it up here, please. There we go. We must act, say that word, immediately, quickly, Jesus said. Go! And some of us have been sitting on the same hurt, the same wound, the same anger for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. In the words of Inigo Montoya, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Immediately means right away. Do not hold on to your anger. Do not say, well, I'll deal with it later. We must act immediately. And then number 4, deal with the heart. Deal with your heart. We've got to let go of the anger. So I want to encourage you, if there's someone that you have been angry about, someone that you've got to pray for them. And we're going to talk in a few weeks about loving your enemies. Man, how do you do that? We're going to talk about that. Don't just avoid sin. Don't just offer a religious sacrifice. Seek to be transformed in the heart. Now, I'm going to close us completely differently than sometimes we do an altar call. You know, sometimes we say, come up front. When I read this passage, that's almost the opposite of what most of you need to do. Because he says, leave your gift at the altar and go. I want to issue not an altar call, but an action call. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will show us the people that we've been angry about, the people that we are stewing about, the people that we have had contempt for. And my prayer is that God would show you and you would act on it. Now, I'm going to take it even up a level. Okay? Sometimes in this world, we are angry at people that we don't know. I remember years ago, I was angry. Yeah, I would be angry at this guy in the public eye or this guy in the public eye. And I would think they're just, and I would come up with an adjective to describe them. And the Lord said to me, even though you don't know them, you cannot hold contempt in your heart for these men or women. And it might be somebody in politics. You know, there's a whole group of people that is over here and they hate somebody over here. And there's people over here and they hate somebody over here. Stop it. Stop it. It's all right if you disagree with them, but you cannot hold on to contempt and hatred. So I'm going to pray that God will show you. If it's someone that you know, go to them. If it's someone that you don't know, I want you to pray blessings for that person. I want you to say, Lord, I've been angry at this person. I pray that you will help them to know you. I pray that you will show them ways, but I want you to pray for them, not against them. But we have got to deal with anger because anger is the danger zone. Anger will destroy us. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy everything. So my call today is not to come to the altar. My call today is to act and do what Jesus says. Everybody, you got it? Got it. I did. That was pretty weak. You got it? All right, good. I like that better. You people at home watching on Facebook, you got it? Yeah, I heard him. All right. I want you to just kind of position yourselves kind of like you're receiving from God. Got your radar up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask first that you would open our hearts to whatever you would want to say to us. Help us to lay down our pride, our self-righteousness, our justification, because perhaps what happened to us was unjust. But help us to embrace the call to lay down our anger and to be reconciled. Help us to lay it down. And so, folks, as you're praying right now, I want you to say, yes, Lord. Just, Lord, I want to let it go. I don't want to walk in anger. I don't want to walk in contempt. I don't want to live with this in my soul any longer. So just take a moment and lay it before the Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to bring into our minds names, people that we have been angry about, angry with, people that we have insulted, people that we have been contemptuous towards. Show us, Lord. A church, hear the words of the Lord. Go. Be reconciled. Romans 12:18 says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. They may not want to be reconciled, but you, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Father, I pray that you will burn that into our hearts and souls, that you will lift the anger and take away any offense, that the enemy will have no opportunity in our very souls, that you would root out any root of bitterness in us. May our lives be pleasing to you. May we lay down our offenses. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.